Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Peter's saying, listen, be in a place to realize you have a guaranteed deliverance. It's waiting for you.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Heron continues his look at the book of 1 Peter today as we turn to chapter 1 and we learn how to smile in suffering.
The emphasis that Peter is making to these believers as we read in 1 Peter were those that in the midst of it all, he was saying to them, listen, you can be encouraged and you can be hope-filled because there's so much that God has given to you. And I'd like to walk through with you very simply what I see to be six reasons Christians can rejoice, because this is what Peter is saying, the very front end of an incredible letter that he wrote. And his point is, listen, to handle the immediate pressure, you must focus on the long-term future pleasures. Some of you today are going through difficulties that some don't even know about except for you. Things that you already know that unless they change, you're going to be facing even more pressure in the future, whatever they are. Let me just walk through, starting in verse 3, these six reasons I see that Christians can rejoice and get through tough times. Number one, he says in verse 3, we have a living hope. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the source, he's saying. It's coming from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, according to his abundant mercy. Number two, he makes the statement in verse 4, secondly, we have a permanent inheritance. This again is great news to help you smile in suffering. This is how he says it. It's to an inheritance. And notice the terms. It's incorruptible. In other words, it can't decay. It's not going to be ruined. He says it's undefiled. In other words, it can't be stained. It can't be cheapened or lessened. It's not going to fade away. It's not going to lose its beauty because it's reserved in heaven for you. Nothing can destroy it, defile it, diminish it, displace it. Peter calls this hope an inheritance. He also mentions number 3 beyond that. We not only have a living hope and a permanent inheritance, but a divine protection. This is how he says it in verse 5, who are kept. And the very word kept is a military word that means guarded. It means shielded. God himself, the very power and dunamis of God, is protecting. And the tense of the verb reveals we're constantly being guarded by God, assuring us that we'll safely arrive in heaven through faith. Number 4, he not only mentions the fact we have a divine protection, but notice in verse 6 and 7, can I summarize this whole passage? It actually is that we have a developing faith. He says, wherefore you greatly rejoice. He said, you gotta be kidding me. In the midst of all this, we're supposed to rejoice. He said, absolutely. Why? Because though now for a season, you know what that says? That trouble you have is temporary. It's for a season. It's God ordained. Don't think this is gonna last forever. Number 5, we have an unseen Savior. Look at verse 8. He says, of whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable. And Peter's telling us that our Savior is standing with us in that furnace, even though we can't see him. In addition to that, number 6, we have a guaranteed deliverance. This is how Peter said in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. In other words, we can experience today some of that future glory. I was watching some of those skiers, cross-country skiers in the Winter Olympics. These guys are, you know, skiing about 4,000 miles, I think. It's like a really long way. And these guys are just chugging through and around the track, and they're going for long distances. I'm going to tell you what keeps them going. You know what keeps them going? When the distance, getting off that last lap, as my son and I were watching this, and they're getting closer, coming out of the woods, getting closer to the stadium. They can hear the noise of those people. They know the finish line is soon to be, and they are going as fast and as hard as they can. And as they reach that finish line, they collapse. And you know what kept them going? The end kept them going in the middle. And is it not much different than the spiritual analogy that Paul also used so often? And this is why Peter's saying, listen, be in a place to realize you have a guaranteed deliverance. It's waiting for you. It's a city. It's a kingdom. It's a garden. It's as real as if you're sitting here now and it's there. And you know what's interesting? When Peter walks through all of this and fleshing out all this doctrine of the Trinity that he did in verse 2, you wonder whether he's thinking now, maybe I better document my sources to help them know that this is not just my little idea as Peter the apostle. And he identifies now three sources, and with this I'll close, because he says in verse 10 through 12, this is the text we're at today, when he says in verse 10, listen, of which salvation, and he identifies the divine agents that delivered the message of Christ. What are they? He says that salvation, that was the theme of the prophet's study. He says, listen, I'm not making this up. This is why you have the Old Testament, as we know the Old Testament. He very simply identifies it to know of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. They prophesied of the grace that should come to them. What is he saying? He's saying very simply the Old Testament prophets studied their own writings in order to know about the promised salvation. They compared it. They believed it. They were personally saved from their sin by faith, looking to that sacrifice of God that we know is on the cross as we now look back to that. And stay with me, they were saying, listen, that grace that would come, God is by nature gracious. And even under the conditional old covenant, he was saying, the prophets foretold an even greater exhibit of grace than what they had ever known. They looked to the Messiah. We look to the Messiah who Christ is. And realize that he was saying, listen, you have the prophets, you have the Old Testament. As we would say, it's the Old Testament to realize this is true. It was a source. It was a divine agent along with the Spirit of God. The inspiration of the very Spirit of God, he says in verse 11, search what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them. And very simply, what he's saying is who they're thinking, who would be that person? When's he going to come? And these are the questions the Old Testament prophets searched to know. And Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, and the person of the Holy Spirit took up residence within those writers of the Old Testament, enabling them to write about the glorious salvation that ultimately is being consummated. And Peter, later in the second epistle, wrote them and said, listen, you have the prophets of old that were moved by the Spirit of God. This is, listen to me, this is what makes the difference between any other book and this book. And Peter's saying, listen, you have an incredible source. The prophets wrote about it. The Spirit of God inspired it. And lastly, he also identifies the apostles' preaching. He was an apostle. There is no apostles today because no one has seen him physically, personally. And I'm thankful for the truth of it all, that when he, the Spirit of God, now took up residence in us, he put us in a place to realize that we then can give that gospel message. And very simply, he was helping these people realize that when we tighten our hold on God's truth, and they're trying to grasp onto this truth, then very simply, we lessen the troubles that are holding us. And when we take this truth and say, God, I'm going to tighten my hold on this, then we loosen the hold that trouble has on us. And I'm so thankful when I realize that these believers in his day really were going through events in which even, he says, he closes, the angels desire to look into. They're not saved. We are the ones that need salvation. And be in a place that we can give this same good news to other people. Now, this particular text, I think, is just continually built on as Peter moves forward with his book, as we'll be looking at. But all of us have to work through the reality that when we have problems and difficulties in our life, how are we going to respond? G. Campbell Morgan, which is a powerful preacher in his day in the turn of the century, who preached in multiple places, but wrote over 70 books, and he himself, that I know, didn't have any formal education per se, but was an awesome writer. When he was in his earlier years, right around 24, 25 years old, he wanted to go into the ministry. It caught my attention, a popular story, but it's a good illustration as I close to help you know that he really wanted to go into the Methodist church, and at that day you had to kind of go through this process, a doctrinal ordination, and then checking you out on what you believe, and he went through all of that. And then they examined him, and then they got done. At the end of the process, he found out the results, and he telegraphed his father. It's kind of like texting today, you see, we kind of coming full circle here. And he made a one-word text, which is what I would end up doing, one word. I'm pretty good at that. This is the one word. He texted his father, rejected. And his father wisely texted back, telegraphed back to his son. Six words. And the words were, rejected on earth, accepted in heaven. Now that's God's perspective. He says, my son, listen, you might be rejected on earth. Can you imagine? Young age, wanted to go to the ministry, and these guys are saying, you're not qualified. You ain't got it. And his father says, listen, even though you're rejected on earth, you are accepted in heaven. You're accepted in the beloved. Thankfully, G. Campbell Morgan went on to become one of the greatest, what they call the Prince of Preachers. Had an awesome ministry. Unlike anyone ever would have realized. And if I could be an encouragement to you today, I don't know what you have going on in your world. I don't care what it is. What Peter is saying is, listen, you can be hope-filled in your hurting world. You can be in a place to realize God knows, He cares, and the doctrine that'll help you get through, this is why you need this. And I think it is so true. Listen, to be heaven-bound, you have to be heaven-born. In other words, you must be born again, born from above. When you're born from above, then you can be heaven bound. And this only comes through the simple gospel, understanding that you have to accept yourself as a sinner. This is your condition. And when you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you want to repent and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I have nothing to offer you. I can't work my way to heaven. I believe you're the one that paid the price on the cross. And Romans 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. This is salvation. It's not meant to be complicated. It's meant to be free. It's not given to you so you are a bad person can become good. No, you're dead in your sin. And he says, I want to make you alive. Has that ever happened to you? Has there ever been a time and a place that you realize, I don't have that. I don't have that assurance. I need that. Because otherwise, you're hopeless. And you're as hopeless as that person standing on a shoreline and a real tsunami is coming right at you. Because you have no hope. And I'm thankful for as Christians, we've realized that, cried out as the psalmist does, my hope is in thee. And then he puts us in a place of great salvation. Does that mean you as Christian now, when you become saved, you're not going to have any problems? Evidently not, because we just read a boatload of people that do. But he is the one that gets you through.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189. Barragata, Guam, 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.